When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 69. How you doing, Derek?
We're getting up there. I'm doing great. I know, it's amazing, isn't it? They just keep stacking up. Mm-hmm. I never thought we'd make it to 69.
Yeah, Paul didn't make it to 69.
Yeah, Paul. It's too bad. I liked Paul. He was a good guy.
Yeah, we are currently recording without Paul because Paul is on a jet skiing excursion or something. I don't know. What do you think he's doing right now?
I thought he was going to jet ski around Cape Hope or Cape Horn. What is that? Around South America? I think that's what he was doing.
The Horn of Africa?
Something like that. One of those horns he was going around. I think that's what he said.
Yeah. Good for him. Well, yeah, Paul is on vacation, so we're just Derek and me today, but hopefully he's having a good time. He doesn't get abducted.
Do you think when he goes on vacation, he goes out? Or do you think he just stays in on vacation?
Nah, he goes to bed by like 8:30 and then gets up in the morning at like 4 and it's a normal thing.
Yeah, all his friends like are just going to bed. He gets up in the morning and all his friends are just coming in from the clubs.
It's so funny because I, like, when I was Paul's age, I did a lot more partying. And now at 33, I can't keep up with my 33-year-old friends because I just like go to bed early, get up early, like work 7 days a week. So I can only imagine how different Paul is than his friends that he grew up with in terms of like even if Paul's like, oh, I'm going to stay out. We're all going to go out tonight at like 10 o'clock. He's got to be exhausted because I know like by 10:30, I'm like almost asleep. Because I'm so tired, because that's like my rhythm is like go to bed at 10, wake up at 5:30, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. See, I wish I was more like that. I can't be like that. I'm just a straight up night person. I force myself to get up early, like, but it just, I'd rather stay up all night long, you know, stay up. Like, I went to bed at 3 in the morning the other night and I was just working on some stuff, but you know, I make sure I set my alarm for 7:30 the next morning so I'm up because it just kills me to sleep in. But to go to bed early, just to get up early, I can't do it. I can't do it. It kills me. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I like when I'm working at night, I would rather stay up an extra 3 hours to get something done that day than tell myself, like, okay, if I go home now, I'll get up early and I'll take care of it. Like, I hate that. Yeah. I'd rather, if I'm in the middle of something, like, and you're in a different spot because your shop is at your house, so you can just keep going and then go upstairs and go to bed. But, like, and my shop's close enough, but even still, I'd much rather, I like to get to the stopping point that I had in my head versus some people I know can, like, work and say, okay, at 10 o'clock, I'm done. I'm going home no matter where I am in the project. Like, I'll stay up and stay out as long as I have to, you know, for something like that.
Yeah.
But then I'll still try to get up at 6 a.m. the next day.
Yeah, you have to. I could never sleep in just because it's such wasted time. You know, I never understood that. Like, when somebody sleeps till like 10, 11, I'm like, oh, my God. I couldn't imagine doing that. But sometimes when I'm up late, like, you make stupid mistakes. And I'm always – I try not to, like, use, like – dangerous stuff and things like that, and that's kind of what happened the other night. I was, you know, and I've been in the shop early all, you know, this last week. I'm going early. I'm down here 10, 12, 14 hours. But I was like, you know what? Let me just mix up this little bit of epoxy and go to bed. So I'll be all set for tomorrow. If I get it done now, I can sit all night undisturbed. Beautiful. And I went to mix it up and I started mixing it. And I made the sign prior, but it wasn't mixed well enough and the colors kind of separated. Mm-hmm. So I says, I'm going to mix this really good and use an electric mixer. So I go to use it. It's a full cup. I says, you know what? Let me put it on low, mix it. Well, the problem was it was already on low. So when I switched it on to low, I actually switched it on to high. I hit the gun and it went everywhere. And when I tell you it went everywhere, it went everywhere.
What were you mixing in a total boat cup or in like a solo cup?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a total boat cup. It was the tall one.
It was a tall boy. I've gotten in trouble with the short cup. Yeah. I'm like, I'll just mix it real quick. And next thing you know, I'm wearing it.
Yeah, I get a little stingy with the cups because I don't like to waste them, obviously. So do I. Just like everything else. But this was a lot of epoxy, so it was a big cup. And it was like just like a stream of it shot out, and it was like slow motion. And so it went all over me. It hit me right across the stomach, and I had like my nice little overshirt I always wear down here, like Mr. Rogers. I come down here, I put on my dirty black and white shirt that I've had on for the last 2 years, and it went all over that. That comes right off. I wipe off the undershirt. That shirt goes in the trash. Then I take it out of the trash. I wipe my sneakers off. Then I didn't have my work pants on. I had good jeans on because I was out. Because I have like two good pairs of jeans. The rest are all shitty. So my good jeans get covered. So now, and then I look, I had a nice, I put down butcher paper because the epoxy doesn't stick to it or go through it. Well, it went all over everywhere on the brand new table that just was surfaced. New rails in it from Armatech. And it got in between all the cracks, everything. It was just a nightmare. It was so depressing and defeating. I just was so pissed. And then on top of that, it was like I wasted a lot of epoxy. And the problem was it was instantly as I mixed it. So it wasn't even mixed. So the shit that got everywhere didn't even harden up. It was just goopy everywhere. And you know how that is. It's like, I rather spill mixed epoxy so at least it will get hot. That stuff, when it's not mixed, it just like stays goopy forever, you know?
Dude, do you remember what happened to me like 3 years ago when I was cutting the angle iron in my shop? Do you remember this? So like 3 years ago, I was cutting angle iron with my, Evolution saw. You know, it's not like a hot saw, but it's still fast.
Yes.
And every time I would cut it, the off cut would shoot across the room, and I thought it was hysterical, so I was like filming it with my phone. Yeah. The fucking angle shot across the room into the machine shop and hit a thing of Total Boat Epoxy on the floor.
About an inch
from the bottom. And I didn't notice. I just kept going. I just kept working. And then later that night I went to go and shut off the lights, and there was almost a full gallon of just epoxy on the floor. Oh, no hardener. God. It took so long to get that floor to be actually clean. And I actually put hardener in it at a certain point. I tried so hard to clean it up. I couldn't get it clean. So I just dumped some hardener in it and then wiped that into the floor. And that eventually hardened. But, oh, my God. I had just started working with Total Boat, and I felt like such a dick because I had wasted an entire gallon of epoxy.
Well, it's funny you said that because So I was bitching about this recently, and I never told this. I'll tell the story now. So I was looking for 1 foot of wire I had. I had saved it. When I got my CNC, there was a foot of wire I cut off, and it was a really heavy gauge. I'm like, I am not throwing this out. Yeah. So I moved this thing around for 2 years. I knew I had it, and I could not find it, right? So finally, I've given up. I'm like, I can't find that. So I had misplaced all the metal I got from K&S Metals, big display. I put that in a box, and I couldn't find it. So I was complaining to Keith about it. And I was like, Keith, you don't understand. This isn't like the size of a ring box. This is a big box of heavy metal. So I'm looking everywhere. I'm moving everything. Well, it was out of the display case, but it was still a big-ass box. Yeah. So I'm moving everything around. I can't find it, right? So I have a cabinet where I keep the resin, and I take all the resin out. I put it back. I'm like, oh my God. So all of a sudden, like about 3 hours later, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to check over there one more time. I walk over there. There's a puddle of epoxy on the floor. I'm like, oh my God, I must have knocked something over. I couldn't, right? So now I have like 4 gallons of it over there because Total Boat's nice enough to send me so much epoxy. And one of them, there was a piece of wire sticking out, the baling wire. Uh-huh. It put a hole right through the bottom of it, right? Only about 2 inches or 3 inches went. But you know what? It's like, do you ever see the video with Barstool Sports? It was just on. They talk about the paper towels, how school paper towels, how they suck. Mm-hmm. It shows the milk on the counter, and the guy keeps wiping it, and it's like more milk and keeps more coming, milk, right? Yeah. That's so funny, right? Well, that's how this was. It was like you would have thought there was 3 gallons. Like a cup of water doesn't look like much until you spill it on your desk, you know?
Yeah, on your laptop.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like this epoxy was everywhere, and I couldn't figure out what gallon it was coming because it was just a tiny little pinhole, and they're all covered with it. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. But I tell you what, I use that Super Clean. They sent me that purple shit, that Super Clean. They sent me the a can of the absorbent stuff. It's like powder. That shit was unbelievable. I sprinkled it down. It absorbed almost 90% of it. Like, there was just a tiny little film of it. Super Clean did? Yeah, it's a little plug for Super Clean. Thank you. That's $1. But, no, it was it was really good. Yeah, the absorbent stuff. Yeah.
So what I wound up doing with mine was it was right next to the water jet, so I just threw some garnet on the ground. It was horrible. And then I was like, what do I do with this punctured thing of epoxy? Because you can't throw it away. It's got to go to the chemical waste recycling program.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
when
like,
you just throw it in something else and throw it away.
Right? Oh, my God. It was a disaster.
Edit that out.
Cleaning up epoxy is like the worst thing.
Yeah. The extra epoxy I have now, I just I dump it in the bucket on my camera stand. I got a bucket at the bottom, so that thing's just going to fill up with epoxy.
Nice. What'd you put? Cement in it?
Yeah. That's why I've seen some people, they do that. They like just fill up a thing with it and just keep filling it up like to keep track of how much they waste. But nice. I get, unless I mix like a custom color, I try to use as little as possible. I mean, like I said, they're nice enough to send it to me, but I'm so stingy with it. I just don't like to waste it. You know, it just feels wasteful.
Yeah, but I'm the same
way. I do colors like this. This was a custom color. This was a redo from Christmas. This thing came out perfect. Only little thing was this little tiny at the top here. But this is probably the nicest one I've ever done. Yeah, no, this thing
came out
beautiful.
I can't see the defect. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it's for Kirkman Racing. And this kid, I had done it. He needed it as a Christmas gift. It's funny. He needed it for Christmas. It wasn't going to be done in time. I screwed it up, and I was like, listen, dude, I can send you this out, but I'll make you another one. I was like, don't even pay me. Don't even pay me for it. He's like, no, let me send you some. I says, dude, don't even pay me. I says, when I send you the real one, you can pay me then. So I ship it out to North Carolina. He gets it in time for Christmas. The person, I think it was his father or something he's giving it to, he gets COVID. He literally gave it to the guy yesterday. So I'm like, I almost could have had it by the deadline, you know. I just sent him a picture of it. He goes, oh, I love it. But it came out so nice. The color's so nice, but it looks beautiful.
And now, what are you getting that rich color with? Is that with
Total
Boat pigment?
So that
I don't know
one,
a lot about
both.
Tinting epoxy that way.
So that one there, that's both. That's Mixall. And I got the original color from Black Diamond and Total Boat's white to kind of tone it down. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Black Diamond has a blue that's that exact color. Mm-hmm. It's like a what is that, like a royal blue or something?
Yeah,
you call
royal
it.
Blue.
Yeah, and when you mix it with the epoxy, though, it turned like real bright, bright blue. So I kind of toned it down with the Total Boats pigment. Mm-hmm. Their pigments are amazing. But for those bright, bright colors, I use the Mixall pigments. They're really nice. You know, they make some nice stuff, and they all are. The Black Diamond, if you're using something that likes more like metallic-y like look, and that's why I'm trying to, you know, it just seems like I always have something going that somebody's paying me for. Black Diamond sent me a ton of pigment, and the colors are like unbelievable. Like, I really want to make something just to show off their colors. Like, I thought they had like 20 colors. They have, I don't know how many colors they have. They definitely have over 100, because I probably have just about one of every one of their colors. And
it's got to be pretty damn close. I think I bought an assortment of Black Diamond Pigment like 7 or 8 years ago when I was working in my garage. And I feel like it was like 30 colors. And for the life of me, I have no idea where it is. And it's like in my attic somewhere, you know, like I remember these kids that I knew were really into like, those like vape pens. And one of them was like, oh, I saw a video where you can make like a sleeve for a vape pen with epoxy, but I want to tint it with a cool color. And I remember him asking me about Black Diamond Pigments, and I was like, oh, I have those. I've never even opened the box. And I lent them to him. And then I remember getting them back, like, in, like, a fucking grocery bag. Like, all the glass jars clanging against each other and being like, you're a dick. You know, like, I literally gave you, like, a brand new thing to try to be helpful. Mm. And I get back, like, a crushed box and, like, a grocery bag. I was, like, so pissed. But ever since then, I think it's, like, in an attic somewhere. Probably just give up and buy a brand new one, but, you know.
Yeah. Do you ever meet the owners of Black Diamond? I think then, if I remember, Chris and I think it was Tara. I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend. They were a couple, I believe. But they are so nice. I met them at Maker Camp and talked to them for quite a while. But he has just such a really cool story. He just started with, a couple bucks and a dream, you know, and I believe, I think it was like his parents' basement or something like that. But he was like mixing things and packaging things up all on his own. And I mean, he seems pretty successful now. I mean, I don't know, obviously, his personal information, but they seem to have it together, the two of them. But I've talked to them since then through Instagram, and I really want to do something nice for them, but make a nice little sign. But they sent me so many colors, it's like I can't even begin to think of what to do with them, you know. It just, and they're all so beautiful, all the different colors, you know, the metallics and the golds, and you know, they got so many great colors. But
there's a lot you can do with that kind of stuff. Izzy Swan just posted something today about like his like new he's making like epoxy molds, and he did something with like kind of like a river table, and like he posted something today, which I thought was really interesting about, like, or maybe it was yesterday. He posted something where he was saying how, like, quickly him and his partner can make, you know, 40 cutting boards or whatever. And, like, each cutting board sells for between $60 and $120. So, like, basically kind of, like, trying to do the math to say if you do this work and you commit the time to do these things, you could potentially make like X amount of dollars. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. And it's like so many people want to do, this kind of stuff. They want to make cutting boards. They want to make charcuterie boards, whatever. And they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel and how they could make it profitable. And it's like, you know, I don't know if Izzy and those guys actually like use that as a business, or if they can kind of just prove the model by kind of like looking at the math. But I mean, if you go around and you have a stock of cutting boards and Izzy says like, you know, bring it around to stores within like a 45 minute radius of where you live, you know, just bring it to stores and say, you know, I want to sell my cutting boards in these stores and let them take a commission. And it's like a lose-lose, you know, if you're giving them the inventory and they don't have to pay for it up front.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they do it? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, it's just interesting. I mean,
making products is a grind. Did you say he's making the molds?
He's experimenting with molds right now, he said.
I'll have to look into that, because it's funny, because I was thinking of buying a mold to make a coffee table.
Yeah.
And somebody had recommended this guy up in Canada. Yeah, and
Elements.
But somebody, they're not that cheap. I forget what it was. There was a couple of them I seen, but they were all up in Canada. I'm like, doesn't anybody local make molds for, you know, epoxy? And because I imagine, you know, the shipping, and I don't know about the customs, how that all works and everything like that coming from Canada. But I was like, somebody local's got to make it. I mean, it can't be that difficult to make a mold. I imagine they just take a piece of foam or whatever and kind of cover it with some type of resin or epoxy and, you know, do it.
A lot of these guys are making them out of UHHM, you know?
Yeah.
And what Izzy did, you could see it. I think it was on his story. Because normally they'll take, like, a slab of, you know, like, 2-inch thick or 3-inch thick, right? And there's all this waste. But what Izzy did, and I'm pretty sure, is he did it in steps. And then what he did was he made a router template for it. So it wouldn't matter if you got, you know, like, those steps in the side of the epoxy pour, because if you have a router template, that'll clean it up afterwards.
You know what I mean?
So I think that's the way that Izzy's trying to optimize it, because it doesn't make sense to do it out of thick material and turn most of it into dust. You know, it makes the most sense how to do it out of the thinnest material you can and make borders and, you know, go from there. So I don't know. He's always got some crazy product cooking up, you know?
No, I know. He's got a good thing going. Crazy stuff. But, I'll have to look into that, because, like I said, I bought a couple slabs and I wanted to do something with them. You know, like I said, I'm not really sure. I don't want to do a big table, just because I think it's a little bit difficult to try to sell a table, and it's just big. I mean, you have to, you know, move it around. It's heavy, all that other good shit. So I think I'll do something small, you know, do something and, you know, figure that out that way. It's funny. I always say, like, you know, I'm never going to do that. But, I look at these things and people just aren't sick of them. You know, it's funny. People, everybody who's not in the community loves them, you know. So, I mean, who am I to judge?
Hey.
You know.
If the people want it. You have to give the people what they want, dude. You know.
That's right.
Give them what they want. If they want, you know, if they want signs, give them signs.
Yeah, I'll give them the signs. Just let me know. I'll make you whatever you want.
What else have you been working on other than a sign? What else has been going on?
Let me think. So I can't remember if I mentioned it last time. When the last time we talked, I did my CNC table over. Did I talk about that last time?
No, I've been seeing it on Instagram. It looked like a big endeavor, but I'm sure it was worth it because it looks awesome.
It was, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I copied the design from Jay Bates, and I tagged him on Instagram, and he reached out to me, which was very, very nice of him. And we talked back and forth, and he gave me some information that he had felt. And it's, you know, it's funny. I got a bunch of the clamps from Armor Tool, and they're great clamps. I don't know if I'd actually use those, though, because I'm just nervous that something would pop off the table. Like, I don't know if they're really made to hold down stuff for a CNC.
Like with the vibration and stuff?
Yeah. Just to, you know, I mean, I'd hate to just be finishing a piece and have it pop out, but I tell you, the T-Track, it's unbelievable. It goes down so easy. It's just very, you know, it's real heavy duty, and it's just, it was just great. So it wasn't bad. Once I got going with it and just got my measurements and everything, cut up the MDF, put it in between it, I glued it all and held it down with clamps and everything like that. So, you know, a couple people thought it was a good idea. A couple people thought it was a bad idea, gluing down the spoil board. But at the end of the day, you just can keep surfacing it. You know what I mean? So, and then once it's surfaced down to nothing, you just add another piece to it. So, you know, I have, I hate to say this, it's been down 2 weeks, and I don't know if this person really wants me to mention it, but I think it's all going to come up, or at least half of it's coming up, because I think I'm going to be adding a vacuum table to it. So I'm very, very excited about that. So that kind of just was in the works today. And I don't want to say where I'm getting it from just yet, because I don't know how much they would want me saying something. But I have a deal with somebody where they're going to be cutting me a custom vacuum table insert for it. I think I'm only going to do half the table, though. I don't know. They think that's a stupid idea, but I don't know that it's stupid. Two reasons I was thinking of doing half. Because I only use half the table. I've never used this whole table. One time I've used the whole table, and it was only 6 feet of it. So that's one reason. And two, I think because it would be nice to have, like, two different style tables, you know. But, you know, I'll see. I got to really think about it, what I want to do. And, you know, but I'm excited. I can't wait to get it, because that's what, if you've CNC'd, that's like the number one pain in the ass thing, mm-hmm. is securing things. For me, it is that and changing tools, you know. So an automatic tool change would be super nice, but you know, the vacuum table, that is really, you know, would be a nice addition. So
yeah, I have a vacuum table on my CNC, but it's pulling through my MDF. And it works pretty good, because the thing is, like, for me, a lot of the stuff that I'm doing is really small. So, like, in order for me to fully utilize my vacuum table, I'd have to do, like, the thing with the gasket material. So I just use super glue and double stick tape 99.9% of the time, or I just screw right down into my spoil board. So, you know, but everybody.
But if you block it down, like, can you put sheets of MDF to block it? Will that, like, work for small stuff?
The best thing to do is use plastic. So, like, I have, like, some sheets of, like, corrugated plastic from Home Depot that, like, because my vacuum table, I think, it's interesting because it technically it has three zones, but it doesn't have baffles for the zones. So if you looked at my vacuum table before I put the MDF on it, there's three big holes that pull the vacuum.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem is there's no baffles underneath to, like, turn any
to
of them
stop.
Off.
Yeah, yeah.
So what they recommend you do is take,
three.
Like, sheets of plastic and put them over the areas that you're not using. But in my experience, if I'm not using a full 2x4 foot sheet of material, my vacuum doesn't pull enough to do the trick. So, I mean, it's great when I'm doing a full sheet. And for me, a full sheet is 2x2, like a 2x4, like I said. If I'm doing a full sheet and I can vacuum it down, it's amazing. But for me, like, I think 9 out of 10, I don't actually have that opportunity to use that size material. But it's all right. I mean, for what you do, it'd be great because you're mostly doing larger format stuff and you've got a big enough table for it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be fun because it is a pain in the neck. The only thing, like, I'm thinking is I like to leave stuff on the table in the same spot. So it'd be nice to, you know, not doing that. But I tell you, it's, you know.
That's why I like the clamp thing that you just did, because my old CNC, when I had the X-Carve, as shitty as it was, it had all the screws in it. You know, the threaded inserts. And, like, every now and then I've used the vacuum table, and all I do is, like, turn off the vacuum and move it a little bit, and that's it. My registration is gone. You know, so there is something to be said about having hold downs.
Yeah, that's what kind of scares me, because I rely on that a lot. I tell you, the one thing, though, I really am excited about, too. I guess there's a lot of good things I'm excited about.
Got a lot
days.
Of good things going on.
But I do. I got to stop being so goddamn negative all the time, because life is good, you know? And I'm being serious, but I got these. Jeff, can you guess what these are? Good guess, Jeff. Bench dogs. These are aluminum bench dogs, right? These are precision dogs. Jay Bates has a link to them. We could share it in the show notes. And it's nice. They wrote, like, a little handwritten note. I don't know what kind of company, how big of a company it is, but they're like, thank you for purchasing our bench dogs. But they're threaded, right, with a quarter 20. And what they do is they're 20 millimeter dogs. They fit perfectly. And they make them for the Festool table.
Yeah, the MFT table.
Yeah, yep. And so so Jay Bates, what he did was he put these all over his table, all these holes, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, I don't understand how that works or whatever. So I write down or take a picture every day when I start something where it is. I never realized on Mach 3 I can just say, okay, this is going to be my offset for this item. You know, you got to remember where it is. Mm-hmm. But there's at least 7 of them I can do. It has 7 spots. So I can have a sign working here, a sign here, and a sign here. And then I can just say, okay, this one, they go like G54, G55, G56, or however they number them. But I could just do it that way. So that way it will save each spot on my table. You know, but like if I get a vacuum table and I shut it off and they get moved, I'll have to, you know, redo it. So that's kind of, you know, a pain in the neck.
Well, you could do a vacuum table of bench dogs, though.
Well,
right?
Why these dogs will be nice, you know, because I'll have to do something like that so I'll know exactly where the dog is, you know, so. But we'll see what happens. You know.
Yeah, that would be cool. You have a rotary access for that table too, don't you?
Yes, I do. Sorry, I just dropped something. Yeah, and it's funny. Oh yeah, I need that sticker.
Derek has a really convenient fraction to decimal to millimeter conversion chart. If you're looking for one, check out www.makeeverythingshop.com/store.
Not sponsored. All right,
now back to the program.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just talking to somebody about that. I still have not used it 2 years. I'm kind of afraid to use it because I don't have much knowledge on how to use it. But it's I do have one. I got to learn how to use it because there's kind of some cool things you can do with it, and mm-hmm. I'm not utilizing it. But
you'll get there. I mean.
Yeah. Do you have one with yours or no? Did it have anything a fourth axis?
No, the thing is, it's since mine is like Tormach, it's a Tormach machine. It has the same ports that like their milling machine does. So it has like a fifth axis accessory port right on it. So if I plugged one in, it could just run off of it.
Yeah.
Though, like the fifth axis on my machine, actually, I guess thinking about it, if I had the fifth axis on my machine and a tailstock, it could be up to 4 feet long. It wouldn't care because normally their fifth axis is for a milling machine where it's
small,
2 to 3 inches. But if I had the fourth axis and then a tailstock, I'm sure I could do that stuff. The thing is, it's not I guess it's never spinning like a lathe. It's only just indexing slowly and then the milling machine is doing the work. So that would be kind of cool to try. I don't know that anyone's ever done it with my machine. Maybe Tormach, if you're listening, maybe I should get a fourth axis.
Yeah. I tell you, so mine, I want to cut mine down a little bit because the way the guy had it, he had it going the long way. Mm. And I don't want to leave it on the table that way because it just kind of seems in the way. But I'd like to cut it down and have it so it's, not going, across the table, like sticking out over the edge, because it's just kind of a pain in the ass, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's I really want to try it because it'd be fun to, to try and to make something with,
Yeah, totally.
But sorry, that's my heat banging in the background. If you can hear that, I apologize. Little steam heat.
There you
tick,
go.
Tick tick.
Mine does that too. Sorry. But it's because I think I got to bleed my system, and I just don't have the. I just don't have the ambition to do it.
Yeah, I've tried draining the stuff out of it, but it just it still makes noise. It's my tenant's apartment, so I don't give a shit. She's not here this month, so I just shut her heat off so she can freeze. But
So you've been talking a lot about reorganizing your shop. How's that going?
It's going. I actually just rented a place to put all my stuff in storage. This weekend, I'm going to try to start getting it out of here. And before I get the stuff out of my basement, I have to get... I have a garage I'm renting now that I have to get stuff out of. I don't know if you just heard my phone ringing. It's actually the woman I'm renting another place from. And that's where the stuff's going. Eventually, we're going to be building a shed out back. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I tell you, I'm like a nomad. But we're gonna build a shed out back and eventually put the stuff back there, maybe with your help. If not, I'm gonna have somebody just do it, but we'll see how that works out, but so it'll be nice to kind of start to get things out of here and get a little bit of room, so
you need it.
I know I really need to just stay concentrated on that and focused, so we'll see, we'll get there.
Yeah, so. I'm going through the same thing right now. I'm trying to, get my shop. There's an area of my shop, I was talking about it on Instagram the other day. It's, where I do all my metal grinding, kind of in the corner.
Yeah.
And it's I got, a shelving unit there and, a table. And it just, it's not doing what it needs to do for me. And it's, I have, I have storage underneath this table that has shit that I never use on it. An old ball door grinder, a bandsaw blade welder, stuff that hasn't been touched in 2 years. So I bought a downdraft table. I think I talked about it in the last episode. Mm-hmm. And that's going to go there. Then I'm going to build a little workbench. And then I'll have a nice dedicated grinding area with dust collection for you know, using the wire wheel, using the Scotch-Brite. Like, not really so much for sparks, but just to try to keep some of that dust down in the metal shop, which would be, like, amazing. Yeah. And then I want to get the power hammer from Paul's shop, so in order to...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do that, I've got to kind of shift a few things around, so I'm hoping that I just finished all the work for that restaurant that I'm working on. I finished the bread rack, which was on Instagram yesterday. I finished all the planters, so that job's done. I'm working on this bed frame for another client. That job's going pretty well, and so like I feel like I have a little bit more time to kind of do some, like, spend a day reorganizing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks I can make some headway in there, because I really want to go to Paul's and get the power hammer and, like, you know, get it going. There's still, like, a lot of work to do on the power hammer, and that's like a whole project in itself. So the only part of that that feels good is that it's paid for.
Yeah, it's funny. I you know, the grinders and stuff, so I had a bunch of them laying around, and one of my brothers, he was here for Christmas Eve, and I'm like, you know what, take this, and I was like, you know what, take one of these buffers, you know, take a grinder, take this. 2 days later I'm like, I need a better buffer. I have like a shitty Harbor Freight buffer, and it sucks. It's like the shitty one there, and I'm like, I need another one. So I went to Harbor Freight, I bought a second one, right? I already had one, I bought another one, like the bigger one,
of course,
and even that one sucks. And I'm like, I need, like, a good buffer. I was like, the one I gave my brother probably is better than both of these put together.
Yep.
And then the mess it makes, it's horrible. It's like, it's like, I don't even want to use them. Like, just shit gets everywhere. It's like, I was trying to polish some brass and stuff. I was like, what a mess it makes. It sucks. It's like, it's so dirty and everything. What
helps a lot for mine is I built, like, a wooden box, and I put the buffer in it, and it's like, it's hard to describe it, but it's like a shell almost. And
that's what I did with the box. Right. Yeah.
It. Yeah. It's mine. It's like funny.
That's what I did with the box it came in.
Yeah.
The box it came in, I cut it and made it into exactly that, and stuck the vacuum in the back. It's funny. Like, Harbor Freight's boxes, like, they use like shitty cardboard. It's like real brittle. It just, like, falls apart, you know? So I was like, whatever. For $150, I'll use it for this job and whatever. It just sucks. It's like, I need, like, a really nice buffer with, like, on a stand. And but it's just sick of buying shit, you know? Well, I'm not sick of buying shit.
That's a good, like, old industrial item to buy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good thing to find, like, at an auction for, like, you know, even if you spend a little more money. But to get, like, an old, you know, big one will really, I think, make a difference. I got one a couple of years ago, and this is like, I don't really have the room or the need for it at the moment, but it's like, you ever seen the jeweler's ones that are attached to the dust collector, where it's like the buffer and then like a big metal box? I got one of those, and it's like, I've always wanted to set it up for like smaller work, but it's like, you know, it's like one of those things. The other thing too is it's like tiny. So when you use those small ones, like if you try to buff like a chef's knife on one of those, you'll just stop the wheel.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's what the Harbor Freight ones. It's like you shut those down so easy.
Yeah. It just sucks. You've seen the big one I have at my shop, right? The big like 2 horsepower one with like the 14 inch wheels. That thing's like amazing, but it's terrifying to use.
Yeah, see, I want something like that. Something that will hurt me if it had to. Yeah, you want
something that'll definitely kill you.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. So,
the most dangerous tool in a knife maker shop is the buffer. That's like a known thing.
Yeah,
because the buffer will take a sharpened knife and put it right near your fucking gut or your throat. You know, like if it goes flying, you're dead. So
I think I told the story before when I was in high school. Like we had like that co-op thing or whatever, and we had. And where I grew up, it was a picture frame company, and I worked there. I was like 15 years old, and I was just like in the warehouse or some bullshit. But I remember showing up one day, and there was a bunch of fire engines there and everything. And one of the workers, I don't think he got killed, but I know he was brain damaged, like vegetative state from a buffer. He was changing the wheel and stepped on the pedal, and you know, they were buffing brass frames. And the wrench or whatever smashed him in the head. Oh. And it was sad because his wife worked there, too. And she was there when it happened. I'll never forget that as a kid. Like, one of those just horrific things. And that always stuck with me with the buffer. It's like, that shit does scare me, you know. Because it's one of those tools that doesn't seem dangerous, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because whenever I'm buffing something, I'm like, I'm just waiting for it to rip this out of my hands. And sometimes it's like, oh, this won't, you know, catch anything, and it catches, and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, my fingers are here. It's not in my stomach or my head. Did the pot get ruined? like it's like, that's the order of operations after that happens.
Oh, I first started making knives, like the three tools I went and bought from Harbor Freight were the 1x30 grinder, the buffer, and like a belt sander. 'Cause that was what I had like read online. This is like, you know, probably 12 years ago when I first made my first knife. And I learned right away how dangerous the buffer was when I like launched a knife out of my hands and I was making small knives. And that's actually like kind of the argument for putting it in like that wooden box, because it kind of limits how far the thing can go, you know. It's deceiving how dangerous they are. The other thing that I've always found to be a problem with my buffer, it's happened twice, and you're in the same position because of the proximity of all the things in your shop, but two times my buffing wheels have caught on fire from MIG welding sparks.
Oh, really?
Where a spark gets across the room, and that's like the perfect thing to light on fire.
Yeah.
It's got wax, and it's cotton.
Yeah.
So two times I've had a MIG welding spark shoot across the room, and I've been working, and all of a sudden I can, like, I'm very tuned in. I'm sure you are the same way, especially because you're a homeowner. You're tuned in to the smell of something burning.
Yeah.
So as soon as I smell something burning, I'm like, I stop what I'm doing. And two times I've been like, something's on fire, and I look over and it's the fucking buffing wheel.
Well, no, it's funny. So I don't have a very good sense of smell, but when I can smell something burning, like, it's like, you know, the ears go up. And it drives me insane. My wife, like, the house could be on fire, and, like, my wife wouldn't have a worry in the world. And it drives me insane. It's like, I'll be like, Christina, do you smell something burning? She's like, yeah. And then she'll just go back to whatever she's doing. It's like, don't you, like, want to make sure we're not going to die? like, or lose the house? Like, aren't you concerned at all? You know, she just could give a shit. But you know what I've had catch on fire, Meg Weldon, is Scotch-Brite pads. Like,
really?
They're on the bench. Oh, my God. The blue ones. I don't know if all
of
them. Oh, yeah. The blue one. Instantly.
Really?
Yeah, it was like steel wool.
Interesting.
It went up like, yeah. Meg Spock set it off. And I wasn't sure because I'm like, I was welding. And I was like, wow, I smell something burning. I pull up the helmet. And it wasn't like on fire, but it was just doing that like steel wool thing, like that glow.
Yeah, like it embers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I've never had a Scotch-Brite go up. That's a new one. I didn't know. I
used to keep them all in a bin right on my bench, and now I'm like, yeah, those aren't going over there. So
yeah,
not that I would ever weld in my basement, but
yeah, exactly. You'd never do that. It's too dangerous.
Yeah, not anymore.
I always make sure that I give myself like 30 minutes after I'm done MIG welding to wait and see if anything catches on fire. Like,
yeah.
I always like, I never like weld something and then run out the door. That's like a big thing.
Yeah. I don't worry too much.
Down.
Yeah. So. I honestly don't worry too much about it. I'll TIG weld. I don't really MIG weld in the basement anymore. I might like just like tack something together. I bring it outside, but, I have smoke detectors literally right over my welding bench. Mm. And, you know, so it's like, and they're hardwired through the whole house and everything like that. I have to put in, my brother-in-law does fire suppression systems. Mm-hmm. And he's always like, oh, I'll give you the stuff to put in, you know, a water thing, you know, like a sprinkler thing.
Yeah.
He's like, it's easy to hook up. And I should do that. And I think I actually may, just because, it, you know, this stuff's not going to cost me anything. Just some time to hook it up, you know.
Yeah.
And just have to, you know, tap into a water line over there and just put the heads in, you know, and be fine.
Yeah, but, I always I always wanted to do. Have you ever seen those things? It's like a ball. It looks like a giant paintball, and it's like fire extinguisher ball. So that company makes those, and they're designed. Basically, what it is like it's a plastic ball filled with what's in a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
And the idea is that when the shell of it gets hot enough or it gets exposed to flame, it melts and then explodes. And it explodes with enough velocity that it's supposed to be able to put out a fire. So, like, if you're...
Yeah.
Let's say you had, like, a water heater in your basement and, you know, it had, you know, cobwebs caught on fire, which is, like, something that can happen. It could put out that fire. So I've always wanted to put, like, a couple of those around my shop, especially, like, over the plasma table, over the CNC, like, over stuff that, like, maybe I'll turn my back on. And, you know, you never know. There used to be a thing called the Watchdog, which was, like, basically a fire extinguisher with a sprinkler head on it. And I had learned about it on a CNC forum. And it looked really cool, but since I learned about them, they've been out of stock. Like, you just can't get them. So I've been thinking about doing some of the fire extinguisher balls, like, over certain machines, and, you know, just to try to make this place a little bit safer, you know.
Yeah, a funny story.
Fire is the worst thing. Like, it can't have that.
Well, we did the show, you know, they got to have everything, you know, up to, mm-hmm. you know, code and everything like that. So they had went out and got a bunch of fire extinguishers. And, you know, Aaron was saying, he goes, you can't get, what are they, carbon dioxide or whatever?
Yeah.
You have to get carbon dioxide. You can't get the regular powder ones. Mm-hmm. And, like, he made a big deal about it, and they just, like, totally blew him off. And they got the wrong ones. And he's like, yeah, he goes, if you set those off, he goes, you're going to ruin all your camera equipment. They're like, what do you mean? They're like, the powder ones go in the air, and it's like gets attracted to the electronics or something.
Oh,
like just the, and it destroys all your camera equipment. So the director of photography, he looked it up, and he's like, yeah, get those out of here. And they ended up going out and buying all brand new CO2 fire extinguishers, those real big ones with, like, the big nozzles, like, you know, the, you know, people squirt each other in the face with, that type. But, you know, like, it shoots out snow or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But they're real expensive. But they bought, like, 8 of them. They had to, you know, because
I mean,
it was like
one of those cameras is probably worth, you know, $10,000.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 And it was just to destroy the lenses, everything. So that's just a little... Little free tip for you.
It's a free tip.
Go to carbon dioxide. Right, yeah. I bet you got carbon dioxide smoke detect. I mean, extinguishers in your shop, right? You must have good fire extinguishers.
I must have 20 fire extinguishers in my shop, and then I have those really expensive titanium ones too, the Class D ones.
Yeah.
That I got at an auction. They're like $800 each.
I have one of those blue. Is it Ansel or whatever it is there?
Mm. Oh yeah, an Ansel system.
The powder. Yeah, and it's so old, somebody's like, that thing probably doesn't even work. I'm like, but I have it in case I need it. I don't know.
The Class D ones are like the flammable metal ones. They're like $700 to $800 each, and I got a couple of them at an auction because I was like, I got to have them. Like, if you work with titanium or magnesium, you know, if you start a titanium fire, you'll never be able to put it out. You cannot extinguish a titanium fire with a regular fire extinguisher. So,
dude, I can't see the date, but I know it's got like a it's like a 19 something.
Yeah, well, once you get into the 19s, I think
it's a 19.
I think you want to go ahead and get rid of that.
But it doesn't even have like a gauge on it or nothing, you know.
Oh,
but
yeah, no, that's no good.
I just want something. Yeah, I wanted something down this end of the shop, because I think you might have said it one time, like, what happens if there's ever a fire at the door, you know? Mm-hmm. There's only one way out. I have a window over here, but it's covered, and I don't even know where it is behind the wall. Like, I'd find me dead crawling, like, digging at the wall trying to get out, you know?
They'd find fingernail scratches in the wall.
Oh, God. Horrifying. So, God forbid, but, you know. Accidents happen, but no, everybody should have a fire extinguisher in your shop. I mean, I have a first aid kit. I actually, Andrew, Blacksmith Tools, I actually said something to him. I got to remind him. He had mentioned a first aid kit, like on Amazon or something. It was like this special first aid kit or something. It had like certain things in it. And, you know, because people buy them and they got like fucking Band-Aids and Bacitracin, and it's like, man, you need something that will stop a traumatic wound, like something like I have, like it's like those blood clotting gauze things, like you may cut your fucking hand off, dude. Like, you're not looking to cover a splinter, like you could die.
That's
you
why
know
you need a tourniquet.
And yeah, actually that's one thing I want to get, you know. And you know, because you just don't know, you know. My father used to say they don't call them on purposes, you know. Shit happens, and it's like you got to be ready for it, you know. But he had said something, but the kit he had, I think it was like expensive, but it also had like, you know, he had like that super glue shit in there for cuts and stuff like that, but
all that stuff.
Yeah But that the fire extinguisher, though, that is, I mean, every shop should have those, and I know people don't think about it, but you really need that. So go get a fire extinguisher. Go get one for your birthday.
If you're listening to this podcast, go buy a fire extinguisher. I always like think about stuff like that. Like the fact that we're talking about first aid kits right now, I got to go and order a new first aid kit, because I know the one I have is like not great. And if I don't, there'll be like a reason that I'm like, fuck, I literally could have gone and bought a first aid kit while we were talking about it and I didn't do it. You know?
Yeah. It's funny because Christina's grandfather was a fire captain, and you know, she was the first grandchild, and it's like that's the only one you really cared about, you know. But he was like, you know, when you stay at a friend's house, you know, the first thing you ask is where's your fire escape? Where, you know, you remember to count, you know. He always drove into her head like fire safety, because you know, he's seen people die in fires, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, she always drove that into our kids, you know, like when they were little kids and they went over to sleep over. You know, we were the parents that really ruined the good time. You know, the kids are going excited to watch a movie. You know, like if the fucking house bursts into flames instead of dying with them, you know your escape route, you know. And it just, we were crazy about it, you know, because it just, you know, that's what happens. You know, it's like if you're not ready during an emergency, you know, that's what happens. You get screwed, you know. So
I mean, when I used to teach class at the shop, I, you know, I had to spend a lot of time just talking about like, okay, here, you're in my shop, there's a fire extinguisher everywhere, this is where the exit is, you know, like. And you know, it was kind of good for me, because it forced me to be more aware of different safety things in my own space, because I'm so used to it just being me, where I don't think about it. Like, I know where the fire extinguishers are, I know where the exits are, you know, all that stuff. And it is kind of good to, you know, refresh your memory of that stuff. And that's what was kind of one of the benefits about having strangers in my shop, you know, pretty much every week. But you know, that that time has come and gone, unfortunately, with the COVID, where probably never will have welding classes in the shop again. Which I was talking to somebody about that recently.
Yeah, I it's so funny you said that. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like I was thinking that, you know, they were talking on the TV the other day about people like in depression and everything like that. I'm like saying to myself, like is that ever going to be a fucking thing again? Like people getting together like that, you know. It's like, it just seemed like we're kind of getting over the hump of it, and people were starting to hang out and congregate, and it's like we're taking a couple steps back, and then it's like some people are kind of like running back again and hiding, you know, myself a little bit included, and then some people are like, fuck it, I don't care anymore, I'm just going to keep moving forward, and then you kind of get people in between. But I don't know that it's ever going to be like acceptable to be like, hey, I'm having 30 people over my shop. Like, you know, I mentioned I was going to be moving stuff out, and I had a ton of people reach out to me. You not one of them, but hey, I'll help you move. And I know you would have.
Yeah, I'll help you move into your fucking shed that we build in the backyard. I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna encourage you getting a storage unit. I won't do it.
Yeah,
I'm anti-storage.
Tough love. I love it. Tough love. I love it. But but I was like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll take the help. But then I'm thinking like, can I just have people come over? I mean, I would. I wouldn't have 20 people over, but I'd have people over. But it's like, it's crazy that you got to fucking think of that now. Yeah. It's like, is it okay to have people come over to help me fucking move? It's like, you know, and me and Jimmy were talking about it. It's like, you know, then you got people who end up coming over. They call you, oh, I had COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people get pissed about it. And it's like, you know, at this point, it's like, you're taking risk upon yourself. Like, whenever you go somewhere or you interact with somebody, they may have COVID or somebody, or you may have it and give it to them. Like, you have to accept that as part of the reality now, you know? And it just kind of sucks, you know? It's like, you know, not that everything was great before, but it's like it just, I don't know, it's just kind of a bummer. It's like, you know, I, you know, a social person, and I like, you know, get together with people. And, you know, you got your Workbench Con coming up, and mm-hmm. it's like, is that even going to happen?
Yeah, they actually did, like, an Instagram Live the other day, and they were talking about it. And basically, it's going to be a mask mandate inside, which I'm not surprised, right, because everything inside has masks. But they're going to do, I think they're asking for a vaccine, either proof of a vaccination or a negative COVID test to come into the event. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why they're not allowing, like, somebody asked, it was like a Instagram Live, and somebody asked if you could buy like a single day pass because you can't come for the whole weekend. And the person was like, well, that's one of the reasons why we can't offer that, because then we have to then like vaccine check every person, you know? And like, we don't want to have to do that with people that are just coming for the day. And I get it, you know? It's like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I can't really do the welding classes in person anymore. But a big one of them is that, you know, I've said it a million times, with Angela going back and forth from the hospital every day, like, I could have COVID at any moment. So, like, I don't, like, my friends and people that interact with me on a daily basis, I feel like, you know, you guys all, like, kind of know the risk. Like, if you're going to spend time with me, you know, like, my wife's a nurse. I could have COVID. You could get it. But, like, some random person coming to my shop, taking a welding class, and I literally got to be like, I can't be 6 feet away from them. I got to be literally like holding their hands while I teach them how to move the MIG gun. If I give that person COVID, you know, it's like, I just can't do it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I see Craig, the Barefoot Forge, is testing himself every day with a rapid test.
Yeah. See, that's stupid though. Classes. Why? Oh, he's teaching classes. I was going to say, why wasting them, you know?
No, he's doing it because every day he has students, and he's, you know, that's his main business, though. You know, like, his main business is teaching classes. Like, that's essentially all that he does there. You know?
Yeah,
so he can't just decide, I don't want to teach classes anymore like I did, but it's just, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. Hold on one second here. I hate to like put a pause on this, but my neighbor just texted me. He said that there's cop cars all over my neighborhood and helicopters over my house.
Oh, great.
So, I want to make sure my doors are locked. He just texted me. He goes, what the hell is going on? He goes, his helicopter's over our house.
Well, maybe they found out that Pinto went to Epstein's Island, and now they're coming for you as an accomplice.
All right, hold on one second.
Well, now I don't have Paul to, like, talk to while Derek's not here. It's just basically, it's just me by myself. Oh, he's coming back. Don't worry, guys. He's back.
All right. That's all battened down. Everything's all locked up. Perfect. That's weird. But,
they found out that you were running a sign shop in the basement.
Yeah, they're looking. The SWAT team's looking for a cool sign.
That's right.
But but no, it is. It's just kind of sad, you know. That it's like, you know, shit. But as far as the testing thing and the vax card, it's like, I get it. But the only thing I don't understand about that, and not to make it a vaccination thing, they're gonna check everybody you have to have a negative test or a vaccine. But why not check everybody? Because it's, if you're vaccinated, it doesn't mean you can't get it. So,
oh, yeah,
like,
100%.
The people who are vaccinated might be sick, and they get everybody sick. So, like, either test everybody or don't test anybody. Like, I just don't understand.
You have to treat it like an airplane.
Logic, you know what I mean?
When I fly home from the Dominican Republic, everybody that gets on the airplane has to get tested, which I get it. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
So, but...
Yeah, exactly. It's irrelevant if you're vaccinated or not. You still might have it.
But that being said, I 100% plan on taking advantage of the fact that I don't have to try to find a COVID test 2 days before Workbench Con, and I'm just going to
So it feels great.
I totally understand.
But I don't know. That's a story for another time.
What have you been watching?
What have I been watching? You know what? That's a good question, because I actually been watching something kind of interesting.
As opposed to something that's not interesting, Fire on Grove Street,
my wife said. It's this guy, he's amazing. I don't want to say he's amazing, because I don't want to get freaking crazy. All
right, so
giving somebody, but I thought he was pretty good. It is, where is it here? New Yorkshire Workshop. And okay, the video I watched, he carved a handrail, and he made a turntable. The turntable had like 3 million views. Actually, all of his videos have over a million views. He's got like five or six videos. They all have over a million views. Jeez. This guy's got to be making these things and be like, this is fucking easy money, dude. Just make a video. It's a million views. But yeah, the turntable he makes is unbelievable. It's like, It's all made out of plywood, and then he puts like Bubinga veneer on it, like high polish built up, you know, finishes them, and it's just unbelievable. But he carves this handrail; it's just unbelievable. But yeah, that's what I've been watching.
Nice, the New Yorkshire Workshop.
Yeah, how about yourself? How about yourself?
I've been watching. I don't know. I've been watched a good video recently. Well, Jason's video from
I watched that last night.
It was
unbelievable.
Jason's the best.
Dude, I thought he was going to get hurt.
I know.
That was ridiculous.
It was just a well done video and showing his process and like he's just such a smart guy. It was definitely cool. I was hoping that these things were going to be like way faster. I got to be honest. I was hoping the thing would like rip. But it was still pretty cool to watch him go through the process. I love those kind of videos. But Jason gets everything. Like every time he does a video, he gets it right. You know.
Yeah.
He just like does it perfect. But I did watch a really cool video on. This guy took a Harbor Freight trailer and turned it into a teardrop camper, like totally from scratch. And this guy, his thing is wooden is goodness.
Is that Jimmy Durustis?
No. You can't sleep in Jimmy's camper. It's funny. This guy's camper just has a bed and no kitchen. And Jimmy's camper just has a kitchen and no bed. Wooden is goodness. Oh,
they should get together.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a cool video. You know, he just did a really good job. It's like, it's one of those projects. It's like when I watch those types of videos, I'm always like, man, I want to just be able to take a project like that and spend like a year working on it. You know, like I want to like decide I'm going to build something like that and just like not have a deadline and just get it done whenever it's done. And I never get that luxury. It's funny. I used to like before I was in my shop, I rebuilt a couple motorcycles and I would just start them and they would be done whenever they were done, and I'd work on them every day, all day while I was like at my day job. I'd be thinking about that project, like looking stuff up online, like super excited to like go and work more on it. And not to say that I don't get excited about the projects I'm doing now, but they're all short-term projects usually for someone else, so I want to be done with those, you know.
Like,
I can't wait to be done with I probably have another 6 weeks of client work to finish, and then I'm going to take a real break from doing client work and just work on, like, the laundry list of stuff I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that. It seriously feels like I'm, like, it feels like I'm finishing, like a semester of school, and I, like, can't wait for vacation to, like, get these couple projects done. But, you know, everything else is good. We got... And I guess I can finish my update. My house is completely gone upstate.
Yeah, 100%. Man, it looks unbelievable, dude. Without the house,
it's crazy,
so unreal.
When you go up there next, and you see the way the property looks without anything there, it's nuts. It looks so good. When the snow is gone, it'll really make a difference because the snow kind of like makes it a little hard to understand, but. I'm so happy with that and that project's done. And now I'm just excited to work on the next thing up there. So it's going to be a busy year.
Yeah.
Got a lot to do.
Yeah. Yeah. No shit.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. And hopefully Paul returns from the Caribbean. Comes back unscathed. We'll see him next week. It's coming up in a little while, but you might as well make your plans for it now. Let's find
my moving party.
What?
My moving party, or
we got a couple events. We got Derek's moving party, and we also have the Catskill Mountain Maker Camp 2022 Hammer-In, the first Hammer-In of 2022, the first event up at the Catskill Mountain Maker Camp. This is a free event, February 18th to the 20th. So it's a little bit more than a month away. And then Austin actually put up a schedule for an event in February, March, May, and July. So very cool. Be awesome for people to kind of get together up there. And I'm pretty sure he wrote that all the events up until the Maker Camp will be free. And obviously if you want to stay on the campus, you can stay at the Blackthorn and you'll be right there and, you'll have a great time. Every one of those events is super fun, and you never know who's going to, you know, make it into town to check them out. So, check out the Catskill Mountain Maker Camp.
Nice.
That's it. So, good luck with your move. I won't be there to help. But
that's all right.
We'll start on the Derek Cromalden storage shed coming soon.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, buddy. Thank you.
See everybody next week. Thanks for listening. Bye, Jeff.
Thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.